required to publicly share his faith before all the brothers in the monastery. Now, he was so unsure of himself and so nervous about it that when the morning comes, he stands up in front of the others and says, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" And of course, the other brothers all shook their heads. "No." "Well," he said, trembling with every word, "neither do I." And then he sat down. Now, the abbot, the monk over the entire monastery, was not exactly happy with this. So the next Sunday, the little monk was required to speak again. And this time, he was even more nervous than the first time. And he stood up in front of the others and said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" And some of them just wanted to be kind and wanted to affirm him. So some of them, most of them, almost all of them, shook their heads, "Yes." To which he responded, "Then why do I need to say anything else?" And he promptly sat down again. Now you can imagine the abbot really was not happy, and this time he was even more insistent. The little monk would have to speak again the following Sunday. And so the Sunday came, and he was terrified about sharing his faith. It wasn't that he didn't believe. He believed, oh, deeply, and it's so deeply. He didn't know how to express it. He just didn't feel like he was good with words. So he stood timidly in front of the others and said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" And some of them, at this point, they were just confused. You know, some of them wanted to affirm him, so they nodded and they shook their heads, "Yes." And some of them, you know, just shook their heads, "No." To which the monk responded, "Will those of you who know, gently, ever so gently, please tell those of us who don't?" End of story. Or is it? Maybe it's still goes on, you know, in our lives. I mean, think about it. We know we need to share the good news about God's love. We know this is part of a scriptural faith, but when we come to doing it, we struggle with what to say. And that's not because it doesn't matter to us. It's the most important thing in the world. It's the most valuable thing in our lives. But we also don't want to see any damage done because we've seen that. And we can get ourselves uptight thinking that our words have to be just right. Or we think that we have to be one of those people who has the answers for every possible question, kind of like Tim Keller or Ravi Zacharias, and as a result, we don't say anything at all. And it was never meant to be that way. It was never meant to be that way. And this brings us to our scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and following. Let's read it. After all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, the church that Paul was writing to was a divided church. One of the main issues going on in the Corinthian church was that they were spiritually immature. And like many spiritually immature people, they thought they were so spiritually mature that they were fighting about it. Someone had this gift. Oh, this gift is better than that gift. I have this gift. If you have this gift, then... That's the kind of stuff that was going on. And so that also led to, oh, I like the way Paul does things. No, Apollos was much more articulate. I love Apollos. And Paul says, look, it's not about any of us. It's about Jesus. And the way that he says this shows us something really important about sharing our faith. Sorry, I forgot to click that earlier. Here it is. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. What Paul is describing is gradual sharing of the good news of Jesus. Not feeling like you have to have it all and say it all in that moment. Just be faithful. Just do the work God has given you to do. I think of Bill, a man who came to Jesus sitting in his pickup truck in my driveway. We prayed. And as we prayed, I began to realize, you know what? God has been at work here for a long time. I'm finally getting to see the place where he recognizes that he can't save himself. Bill's a good guy, but he can't, you know, no matter what his efforts, he can't do it. And he's coming to that place where he sees who Jesus is. And he says, yes, I want that. And I get a front row seat to that. But there are all kinds of people sitting behind me that God has used along the way. And that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the work of God's Spirit that we all have a part in. We just need to be faithful in this. If someone doesn't place their faith in him right away, don't be discouraged. You're just sowing seeds, and you never know. You never know when God will make those seeds grow. I think of my friend Alice, who is from Alabama. Her husband was a pastor, and she went through an evangelism training, and one night they had come to a farmer, they were visiting in his home, and as they were sitting there, she shared her faith, and then she asked the farmer if you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he responded, yes, I would, and you've got to know her. She's this sweet, diminutive thing. And she just looked at him, and she was so surprised, and she said, you would? You would? Her husband, who was a drill sergeant with the Marines, got such a kick out of that. He ended up becoming a full colonel. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God is making it grow. The important thing is to be consistent in sowing the seed in others' lives. Scripture tells us that if we do this, if we are obedient in this, we will be rewarded. We'll bear fruit. So our hearts need to be right in this. And this is often the challenge for us right there. Am I faithful? Ask yourself that. I think about the evangelist of over a century ago, D.L. Moody. You know, it's so easy to be critical of people when it comes to evangelism. And I think we need to deal with that up front and say, Lord, help me not to be that way. Help me to just do it. Whatever way you lead me, according to who I am, help me to do it. A lady came to D.L. Moody and said, Mr. Moody, I do not like the way you do evangelism. To which he responded, well, how do you do evangelism? And she responded, I don't. To which he responded, I prefer my way of doing evangelism to your way of not doing it. And isn't that true? We can be so critical of people who don't, who do evangelism, that we don't do it. And that's not right. Doing evangelism almost always starts with building relationships. I mean, this is about people. People need to see God's love in us before they'll accept anything we have to say. That's something you've heard me say, you've heard me mention before, as I've talked about Jeffrey's coming to faith, and he encountered a group of people who accepted him where he was, you know, no matter how much he tried to push him away by, you know, swearing or blasting the most, you know, vile music. Their whole point was, come to Jesus. Dude, just come to Jesus. We'll figure the rest out later. And I love that. We need to meet people where they are. You know, it can be as simple as intentionally giving your mailman a bottle of cold water on a hot day, then being consistent in your kindness so that you earn the right to be heard. You know, just following through in love with people. Sometimes we feel like we have to be Billy Graham, you know, but evangelism isn't like that usually. It's not this one and done thing. A gentle word in God's timing, over time, all the difference it can make. Because that way we're communicating heart to heart, and people get to see what is in our heart, what motivates us. You know, what's the reason for this kindness? You're not treating someone as an end in themselves. You're simply loving them because it's the right thing. Because you know that's what God would have you do. I still believe, and we've talked about this before, I still believe that one of the most effective ways that we can share God's love with others as you and I go about our lives is by just asking them, is there anything I can pray for you about? You know, once you've gotten to know them a little bit and, you know, they can see that you're concerned about them, that you care about them as a person, that simple question can open doors if you'll try it. It's amazing to me how people open up in response to that, because it's a question that says, I really do care about you. And then, if the next time you have a conversation with that person, you go to them and say, hey, what, you know, how are things going with this? I've been praying for you. Then that establishes your sincerity all the more. And they understand, yes, this is a person that I can trust, who really thinks about me. Paul also uses the analogy of a building in this passage. And you see this in verse 11, where he says, no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus is the foundation for all of this, but this takes time and this takes care. Another analogy might be, if you'll excuse it, you know, we recently put up a partition in the men's restroom, you know, which we're thankful for. Tim and I worked together on this, and while we were working together on it, it was really interesting for for me to see the differences in our personalities. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful for Tim. Because Tim was like, you know, we need to read these directions. We need to follow them really carefully. Yeah. And I, you know, after about 45 minutes with the instructions, I was just fine. Let's do this. Let's put this thing up. But I don't know what it would have been like if we had gone that route. You know, I had a few things to add, I think, but, you know, still, the point was, it took a couple of us to put it together. You know, all the more in reaching someone for Jesus, it takes a few of us with just love, pointing to Him, letting Him love through us. But it's all about Him. Some years back, my father was stuck on a winding two-way mountain road behind a man who was swerving all over the place. And sometimes he'd even cross into the next lane for a moment, right, you know, right when you wanted to pass. And Dad, who had a bit of a temper, was just getting increasingly frustrated because on the back of this car was a bumper sticker, "Honk if you love Jesus." And after, you know, Dad had tried to pass him a couple of times and the man kept swerving, finally he got around him and honked when he did so that the guy would stay in his lane, to which the guy, happy as could be, starts waving at Dad. Evangelism isn't a hit and run. Are we being careful to share Jesus in a way that others can really see Him? Are we staying in our lane, if you will, kind, considerate, but still moving in the right direction? I know that many of you are faithfully doing this behind the scenes, just trying to love others in the kingdom. Keep it up. Keep it up. You know, don't be discouraged. Sometimes you see numbers ebb and flow in the church. It's not about the numbers. Yes, we want to see numerical growth. Of course we do. Absolutely we do. And I think that's a good and biblical thing. But Scripture also talks about preach the word in season and out of season. Scripture also speaks of pruning. That means there are times when a church will shrink and times when a church will grow. That's not where our focus is to be. Our focus is to just be on Him. And if our eyes are on Him, trusting Him, serving Him faithfully, He will work everything out. Keep pointing others to Jesus. Keep sharing what He has done for you. Keep loving them to Him. And in time, you will see. This matters more than we know. And if we think that it doesn't, and sometimes we wrestle with that, think about where we would be without Him. Think about where you personally would be without His peace, without the hope that He gives, without the help that He has given you in the most difficult moments, without the beauty of His humbling love, you know, when you start to get things right, and He says, wait a minute. Because then you know you're just one step away from pride, and we've been there, and you know what pride comes before? think about the beauty of His Spirit that you've known in so many ways. We were never meant to keep this to ourselves. The Spirit won't let us. And sometimes it's just the smallest step. But we will see God move. And we will experience the joy of knowing that we, even we, have been a part of it. If we pray for it, if we reach for it. You know, Scripture says that Christians will not be judged like the rest of the world, but we will be judged on the basis of our works. That there is a judgment on the nature of what we have done for Him. And therefore, should not our goal be, Lord, I want to bear fruit. I want to do this. I want to do this right. But oh, I can't do it unless you help me. I need your help, but yes, please. Oh, have that conversation with Him. And ask Him to put on your heart someone, and He will. He will. We can do this. And we can pray for each other, and we can support each other, and we will see what only God can do. He would have us do it. And because He would, do you know what I'm going to say now? Well, those of you who know, please, gently, ever so gently, share with those who don't. May we pray. Lord, help us in this. We just want to be yours. We just want to be yours in this. We just want to see, yes, there's another one that Jesus has set free, just like You've done for us. Thank You, Lord, that You want this to happen in our own lives. You want us to work together in this. Holy Spirit, fill us and help us. Right now, we lift before You the name of someone who comes to mind. Maybe as we've been thinking about this, you may be thinking, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can say, yes, I have received Him. But Scripture says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right, to become the children of God. He is reaching out to you. He even brought you to this point here this morning where you could say, yes. As good as I've tried to be, I know. Lord, I just need You. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, from our brokenness. And as we come to Him, it's not that all of a sudden we're perfect. (laughs) But inside, there's something new. We've become God's children. And He'll help us work the other things out in His time, in His wisdom, in His way. So would you come this morning to Him just knowing you are loved, you are loved. Jesus went to the cross to prove that, to show it, to welcome you and me. Will you say, yes, Lord, yes. I come to you. I come to you. Receive me, forgive me, I believe. Help me where I struggle. Save me, I pray. And you know that Scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, Lord, bless us to share this very truth in the beauty of all that you are. In Jesus' name.